from the emotional standpoint, be strong, be compassionate, be kind. Don't judge other people. They've had their life. You've had your life. And be happy for the life that you have. Be happy that you live it all.
That's Frank Billingsley, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Frank Billingsley has been a Houston, Texas weatherman for almost 30 years. Billingsley is adopted and became curious about his birth parents. He's written a memoir about his experiences using genetic testing and genealogical programs to piece together his family history. His book is Swabbed and Found, an adoptive man's DNA journey to discover his family tree. Frank, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Frank, you write that you'd been wondering about your birth family for many years, but your sister's experience trying to find her birth parents initially discouraged you from doing the same.
Yes, my sister didn't have much luck. I mean, she did in that she found the closure she was looking for, but her birth mother had passed in the 70s from ovarian cancer, which obviously clued my sister in to some facts about her own health. So that was a plus, but she obviously didn't meet her. Her biological father knew nothing about her and didn't want to have anything to do with her. He was raising children of his own and I guess trying to set their moral compass. And so now up comes this long lost daughter. So that was in the mid 90s and it gave my sister closure, but not happy closure. And so, you know, you start thinking as an adopted child, first of all, I have wonderful parents. So, you know, I don't want to offend them or feel like I'm cheating. And my sister's experience didn't go well. So even though you're wondering, you think, you know, let's just push this away or let's kick that can down the road for a little bit and see where we go from there.
What actually was the turning point for you? When did you decide that you were going to seek out your own family tree?
Well, a lot of things change once you hit the big 5-0, and I was 54, and you start to think, you know, my sister had the experience when she was about 30 years old, and here I am in my 50s, and I'm thinking, if I'm ever going to make this search, I'm going to have to do it pretty soon, or I'm not going to find anyone either that's alive that can help me or that remembers me or wants to know me. It's just a matter of time. You know, time is the great equalizer. You start to think, well, okay, DNA is making this at least a fairly simple process to begin. Let's try it. Let's see if it even will happen. And if it does happen, then we'll go from there. We'll see what happens.
Well, tell us about this. How does this process of DNA testing work?
Well, I tested first with Family Tree DNA, which actually is located here in Houston, and you take a swab, which looks like a little mini toothbrush. You swab your cheek, you put that result in a vial, and you send it off to their labs where they separate the actual DNA cells from everything else, like saliva cells, for instance. So they get the pure DNA, and then they analyze it, and they put what the results are into a computer that compares it to everybody else who has done this. So obviously, the results are only going to be as good as the pool of people that have participated. So if people haven't participated, obviously, you're not going to match them. But then you get compared to everyone else, and depending on how much DNA you share with someone, then you can look at the relationships. For instance, you share 50% with your mom and 50% with your dad, 50% with a full sibling, 25% with a half sibling. So you can get an idea based on ages of people and how much percentage of DNA you share, what relationship is there. It goes all the way down to 8 cousins. So you may share just a little bit, and those kind of family trees become very tangled. It takes a lot of research. But if you have enough big hits of first cousins once removed, second cousins, you can look at their trees that they actually know about and start figuring out where you are on that tree. So DNA really leads the path. Of course, there's Ancestry.com and 23andMe.com, which are two big companies, and FamilyTreeDNA.com. So there's a lot, and it's gotten cheap. You know, $69 usually is the special for Thanksgiving and Father's Day and Christmas, but at a maximum, it's about $99. And so between the prices coming down and the ease of testing DNA and so many people doing it, it's become more and more popular with people and really easier to make progress in that arena.
So how did this work for you? What were you able to learn?
I found everybody. Now, I fished in all ponds, so to speak. I put my DNA out there in Family Tree and Ancestry and 23andMe. I got matches from every part, mainly first cousins once removed or second cousins once removed. But they had very substantial family trees that I could, with a lot of questioning and asking other people for their DNA and doing other analysis, eventually I found at the top of the heap my biological mother and my biological father. And of course, I found a biological half-sister and half-brother, lots of cousins from first cousins once removed to aunts and uncles. And my whole biological family tree, I now know.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that research process, because yes, it did involve DNA, but it involved other sources as well.
Well, anyone will tell you that good old-fashioned genealogy is the key. A lot of times DNA is just there to confirm what you may already know or suspect. But genealogy is important, and looking at family trees and even old service records, war service records, social security records, death certificates, gravestones, birth certificates, marriage certificates. There's a life out there on paper, especially on the internet, of everyone. And following those lives is what we call genealogy. You put those people's lives on the tree that you are on or somewhere you think you might be, and that can lead you to at least get some sense of where you came from. Now, my case, being adopted, I didn't know even a name. I knew nothing about my biological family. I was adopted in Arkansas. That is a closed record state. They don't tell you anything. So I had nothing to go on except some non-identifying adoption information, which that can be anything from one page to several pages. Generally, it will tell you how old your biological parents were, perhaps why they had to give you up for adoption, perhaps their religion, other members of their family, any medical history they may have told the social worker. So you may get something, you may get a lot. I put my entire 4 pages in my book, Swabbed and Found, for everyone to see. So that's what I found. And it sort of painted a bit of a family tree because there were some birth dates and some ages of people that I was related to. So that kind of led me on the path to find my biological mother, along with some DNA connections, and then some research into graves and gravestones. My biological grandmother died at age 22 in childbirth, very young, so she was very hard to trace. But eventually, we found her, and by finding her, I was able to find my biological aunt, and by finding her, I was able to find my biological mother. So the dominoes start to fall if you are smart about it, and you really put your nose to the grindstone and do the research.
Well, it's one thing to discover them on paper. It's another thing to actually meet them. What was that process like for you? What was that experience?
Dan, you're absolutely right, because people are not internet pages and black and white photographs of old birth certificates. They are real flesh and blood people. And it can be a shock, especially for people in their 70s and 80s to find out that their biological kids are showing up. And this is happening all over the country all the time. Every day this is happening. From my experience, my biological mother at first denied it because she said there's no way he could have found me because the social worker told me, forget about him. I'll never see him again. So this idea of DNA and computer technology and research, how in the world did this happen? So she denied it at first, and then I think she was a little angry that something had happened that she was out of control. And then she came to accept it, and not only accept it, but embrace it. And we're very close now, and we have had a nice relationship. But I'd be lying to you if I didn't say it was a shock to her at first. I went through her sister, who told her about me and broke the news that I existed and that I was looking for her. And so to have a family member do that, I think, is easier. But it was a shock. I described the whole thing in the book, and it wasn't easy for her. My biological father had no idea that I existed at all because I was basically the product of a one-night stand. So he went on his way. So when he found out and did a DNA test that confirmed our relationship, he was much more embracing. He had never known about it. He had not lived with 50 years of knowing he had given a child up for adoption. And so I think he was more of the mindset of, wow, okay, this happened, and let's find out who this guy is. And he Googled me, and he couldn't wait to meet me and meet my family. And he's been very warm, as is his wife and his children.
You write in your book that when you came out to your parents, that they were very accepting. But so when you were trying to find your birth family, you also had this concern about how will they view me as a gay man?
Well, sure. Now, I have the advantage of being on television here in Houston, and so I'm easy to Google. In fact, when Kevin and I married in 2012, it was on the newspapers here. It was on television here. In fact, some of it went all the way around the world just because everybody's looking for news, I guess, especially 2012 on that subject. So it's easy to Google me and see pictures of my wedding and know that I'm married and know that I'm gay and that I have a family and a son that we've raised. And so I'm easy to Google. But at the same time, I thought, you know, it's hard enough to accept that you have this long-lost son. Are you going to be okay with it when he's also gay and living a pretty openly gay life? I couldn't be any more open in my own community. And so I did have that concern, but I was happy at the same time that I'm so easy to Google, because I knew they would find out. I knew the first thing they were going to do when they heard my name was Google it, and that they would find out pretty quickly that I was gay. And that would lead them on the path of, okay, do I want to know this guy? Is this somebody that I can bring into my life, or do I not want to know? And it was a concern for me, because I found out my biological mother still lived in a very red state of Arkansas, and I didn't know where she was coming from. And she wasn't good with that at first. She's gotten better with it, but I couldn't say that she's completely comfortable and completely understands it. But my biological father, who I must say is in California, he couldn't wait to meet Kevin. He couldn't wait to meet Morgan. He was very excited about the whole family and has no concerns or issues with that whole gay lifestyle. So he was good to go. My biological mother, on the other hand, not so much. But she's like so many people that have learned to accept other people for who they are. I think she's coming around.
As you share in this book, you've had quite the journey learning about your birth family. Tell us about some of the most surprising things that happened to you along the way.
Well, so in the beginning, I was so surprised to find out that, for instance, being an adopted man named Frank Billingsley, I was in fact related to a man named Frank Billingsley. That was really odd. And so I did the research, and not only had the Frank Billingsley I'm related to lived in Houston at one point and knew exactly who I was, but his great, 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 sixth great grandfather and my father's seventh great grandfather were brothers on my adoptive father. So I called my adoptive father and I said, you know, in some ways I'm a Billingsley because I'm related to them. And he loved that. So that was a fun coincidence. I still get people in Houston coming up to me at restaurants or stopping me on the street saying, hey, I tested my DNA and we're long lost cousins. And so that's kind of fun that people have been watching me on television for 30 years now in Houston, and we're actually related. So people get a kick out of that. I've really opened my eyes as I went on this journey, so that any surprises that came along, I was just going to roll with the punches. So when it came down to finding out that my biological parents weren't married, that didn't surprise me. I wasn't taken aback by that. I've been surprised that they're both a lot like me, my biological father. I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but my biological father, when he was doing his service in the Air Force, was actually a hurricane hunter, and I'm a TV weatherman. My biological mother, for some strange reason, we part our hair exactly the same way. It's kind of funny, but we do. It's nice to see physical relationships with people, because you always wonder, and where did I get my height, or where did I get my blue eyes, or why am I like this? So that's been kind of fun to compare that. And a lot of people have asked me, are we nurture or nature? And I think I've discovered that we're both. We're very much who we were born. And then when we're adopted and raised by other people, we become part of them too. And so at the end of my book, I have my whole family tree, my adoptive family tree, my biological family tree, because they really are, in one way or another, who I am. Whether they gave me their DNA and that's where I started life, or whether they raised me and they taught me about life. Both sets of parents really are the people who made me. You know, one group made me and the other made me. Mm-hmm. So it's been a fascinating journey intellectually for me.
What advice do you have for adoptees who want to learn more about their birth families?
Well, on a technical, scientific level, fish in all ponds. Put your DNA out there on Family Tree DNA, Ancestry, 23andMe, because it's only going to help you so much as other people that have tested in those various companies. And then you can take your results and you can upload them for free to a company called GEDmatch.com, which is sort of a holding for all of them. So to get your DNA out there, if this is something you want to pursue, learn about DNA. Just go on Wikipedia or do an FAQ on one of the sites, like Family Tree DNA has a great frequently asked question section. But learn about this so that you can understand how DNA works. You don't have to be a scientist. You can get some basics of how we all share certain amounts of DNA. So that will help you. Know simple biology. A lot of people have forgotten that if you're an XX, you're a girl. If you're an XY, you're a boy. Well, that Y is directly from your father. Father to son, father to son, father to son is where that Y comes from. And if you're a man and you test your Y, then you should get names of other men that you share that Y with. And that can give you a name on your paternal side. And adoptees are always looking for names. So that's the technical side of it, Dan. From the emotional standpoint, be strong, be compassionate, be kind. Don't judge other people. They've had their life. You've had your life. And be happy for the life that you have. Be happy that you live it all. I don't like to hear stories where people resent being placed with adoption and want to go and find out why with some sort of demand from their biological family. And I don't think that's fair. I think for everyone involved, to be compassionate and understanding and not judge other people is the best way to go through the process.
Frank, thank you for talking with me today.
It's a pleasure to be on your program, Dan. I appreciate it. And thanks to all your listeners. And hopefully they'll read the book and they'll get something out of it.
Frank Billingsley's book is Swabbed and Found, An Adoptive Man's DNA Journey to Discover His Family Tree. More interviews on a wide variety of topics are available at kpr.ku.edu/conversations. Or check us out on Facebook at KPR Conversations. That's all one word, KPR Conversations on Facebook. You can also use our KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.